Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in Luke chapter 24. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This is God's word. One of the things I mentioned last Sunday in the sermon, don't know if you remember it or not, I'm not going to quiz you, don't worry, is that when the Bible wants to emphasize a point, it repeats itself. Okay? Think Isaiah before the throne of God and the seraphim singing not just holy, but holy, holy, holy. Or last Sunday in our gospel, Jesus appearing, resurrected, to his disciples in John chapter 20 and saying three times, peace be with you. We have it again this morning in our readings. We got to kind of look back and pull it all together, so bear with me for a few moments. Actually, our gospel starts with Jesus again. This is probably Luke's account of the events that happened on that Easter evening, saying, peace to you. But that's not the repetition I'm talking about. You see, all throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus is continually telling his disciples what is going to happen to him. And they don't get it. They don't understand it. In fact, three times in Luke's gospel, there's that number three again, Jesus predicts exactly what will happen to him. He says in Luke 9, he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Jesus said plainly, he would be rejected by the leaders of Israel, he would suffer, die, and be raised on the third day. And then later in chapter 9, Jesus says it again. And he even starts off by saying, let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. He tells them, pay attention, listen to this, and understand this. I'm about to be delivered over to suffer and die. And then again later in Luke's gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and shamefully treated and spit upon, and after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day, he will rise. Jesus says it plainly, exactly what is going to happen to him. But even after repeating it three times for them, the disciples still didn't get it. They understood none of these things, Luke 18. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. Classic disciples, right? Three times Jesus said that. And so we should pay attention when Jesus says something three times, just as the disciples heard it three times. But you know what? It wasn't just three times. There's more. On Easter morning, after Jesus had risen from the dead, Luke tells us that two men greeted the women outside the tomb, likely angels, and said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. If there were little light bulbs over the women's heads that day, they would have lit up. Ah, he told us this. And then, later on in Luke 24, as Jesus on Easter day walked the road to Emmaus with two disciples who are grieved over Jesus' death and his body that now they presume missing, he said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Well, all of that backdrop leads us to today's Holy Gospel found at the tail end of Luke chapter 24, almost the very end before Jesus ascends into heaven. Jesus had repeated over and over that this was how it was supposed to be, that he would suffer, die, and rise at the hands of men, at the hands of the very humanity he had come to save. And so now, Jesus appears before his disciples in resurrected body, in his flesh, wounds in his hands and feet and side, startling the disciples, and he tells them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus suffers, dies, and rises for the people of God. He suffers for the very people who continually don't understand the whole point of it all. And so Jesus says this is all to fulfill the scriptures, and he says it one more time so there can be no mistaking it, but he adds a little twist to it. "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." If you don't get the point of Jesus' entire ministry and the entire Christian faith, it's this: that Jesus should be handed over, delivered into the hands of men, suffer, die, and rise again. But now, after Easter, after the resurrection, Jesus adds something to it. The Christ will suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and then repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus suffers, dies, and rises. Now proclaim it. Tell it to people. Preach it. This is the central point of our preaching and our teaching and of our gathering here as the people of God. Why in the world would people come to a church this morning with so much blasted snow outside? The roads are going to be worse probably after church than they were when we came in. Why would he even go out on a day like this to come here? To hear this very message, that Jesus suffers, dies, and rises for the people of God, and we are to proclaim it over and over without fail. That's our message. That is why we are here. It's why Paul said in a text that we actually heard a few weeks ago, back in the middle of Lent, that we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That is the whole point, that we proclaim and that we continue to hear Jesus who suffers, dies, and rises for you and me. Some people get tired of that message. Maybe it doesn't seem relevant enough. I mean, how many times can you come to hear that message over and over and over? And so there's a temptation among a lot of us to seek out a different message, something that's more relevant, like, how can I improve my prayer life? Pastor, why don't you give a sermon on improving your prayer life? Or how to live with confidence in this world that's so topsy-turvy? How do we handle our money according to biblical principles? How do we improve our sex lives? What's the Bible have to say about that? How do I be a godly parent? How do I follow biblical principles for raising my kids? Those are the kinds of things that maybe We want something more practical, something we think will be more relevant to our day-to-day life. But there is nothing more relevant than hearing the law of God that says you are a sinner over and over and over. We admit to that in the beginning of our service, week in and week out. And it's intentional that we start that way, acknowledging that we are sinners, we are broken, we are separated from God. And then week in and week out, the very same gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, that he suffers and dies and rises again. That's not just my opinion, or the Lutheran opinion, or someone's idea of what preaching should be and what the people of God should be looking for. That's Jesus himself, who said it over and over and over, who said, "Let this sink into your ears, that the Son of Man, the Christ, should suffer and die and rise again on the third day." I think it's probably fitting that all of us take time to let that sink into our ears as well. The very importance and significance of that word. That's the whole reason for our existence as a people of God, that we would receive what he has given us in his life and his death. That he would pour out upon us what he accomplished on Calvary, what he accomplished on Easter morning when he rose from the grave. And so every week, week in and week out, it's, "I am a poor, miserable sinner." And every week, week in and week out, Jesus forgives all our sins. Because that's what he's instructed us to do. To proclaim what he has done for our repentance, the turning away of ourselves from sin, for the forgiveness that he bought in the blood that he shed. That is biblical proclamation, preaching. Jesus, who suffers, dies, rises, and is proclaimed to all the nations as he commanded. In fact, that was the message continued by the apostles, wasn't it? We heard it in our very first reading. Who, after performing a miracle, Peter told them the reason for his ministry. He said, "What God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." Peter says it. Jesus himself said it in our gospel when he talked about the law and the prophets and the Psalms being fulfilled in him. The whole point of God's people being together, the point of the Holy Scriptures itself, the Bible, is that you would know that Jesus has suffered, died, and risen for you. From Genesis to Revelation, every page of the Scriptures serves the purpose of telling you that you are a sinner for whom Jesus has suffered, died, and risen. And if our proclamation isn't that, if that's not the message we're about, that not, it's not what we gather to hear and what I get up in this pulpit to preach, then we're not preaching God's word. It's not biblical. Because that's what our Lord would have us do. And as Peter says in our first reading, times of refreshing come from our Lord when he forgives us and we turn in repentance through the power of the gospel. Maybe that's ultimately what most of us seek. Refreshment. I love that word. And it kind of, there's sort of a discord it strikes today. There's nothing really refreshing about looking out and seeing the snow pile up in the middle of April. When I think refreshment, I think of being cooled off on a hot day. But the refreshment that Peter is speaking of, and the refreshment that is offered here, is that which comes from being weary people living in a wearying world, beaten down by sin everywhere we turn. You may think that message gets old. Every week saying, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. Every week hearing Jesus dead on a cross and risen for you. Maybe you're wondering when we'll ever get past that onto something different. Well, we won't, because that's where our refreshment is found. Knowing that we never escape sin in this world, it's everywhere we turn. Until Jesus returns on the last day, we're going to see death and evil and wickedness. We're going to be tempted. We're going to give in to our flesh. We're going to be broken and beaten by all that surrounds us. And yet, the Christ suffered, died, and rose on the third day for you and for me. If you don't want a word that preaches Jesus Christ who suffers, dies, and rises for sinners, then you don't want God's word. You want something different. That's the point. It's who we are as the people of God. It's why we gather week in and week out. It's why we have bothered to be here in the middle of the wind and blowing snow to hear and receive this good news. And rest assured, our Lord promises that's what you'll always find. That no matter how this world attacks and buffets and assaults the church, Jesus always rules and reigns and always delivers his gifts to his people. He is the Lord who suffers and dies and rises from the dead for you. He is the Lord that calls you to repentance and the Lord who forgives you all of your sins and gives us this word, this good news, that we might in turn share it with the nations. Dear friends in Christ, the Christ, Jesus our Lord, suffered, died, and rose. And this good news is proclaimed to you today and always, that you would always know that sinners find their rest, their joy, and their salvation in the one who conquered the grave, the one who stood in flesh before his disciples and made them new in his life, death, and resurrection. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.